If you've ever been to a planetarium or stared at the sky in a dark place, then you've probably noticed the stars. Now, just imagine right now that you're looking at a star. If you want to close your eyes but not fall asleep, you're welcome to do that with me. So just imagine right now that you're looking at a star. Now, a star is a sphere of plasma held together by gravity that gives off light, which is pretty cool. Let's just own that. Of course, we know that our closest star is the sun. But with your eyes closed, think of a distant star. We're not looking at the sun, we're looking at a different star. That star that you're looking at is likely to have its own solar system of planets around it. The star could be a low-mass or a high-mass star. And actually, the light that you see from that star could be actually from a dead star. After all, the light that was emitted could be traveling to us for thousands of light years away after it collapsed long ago. Now, as you may know, as a good physicist, light travels 6 trillion miles in 1 year. So if that star died 5 years ago, the light could still be seen by us if we were about 30 trillion miles or more away. So let's suppose that that star that you're looking at did die 5 years ago. Then that star is almost like a ghost of sorts, without any body or mass, but with a continued luminous effect, which is kind of freaky, right? That star that you're also looking at is also in a galaxy, maybe our Milky Way galaxy, or perhaps one of the other 100 billion galaxies in our universe. Now, if you've closed your eyes, go ahead and open them. It doesn't take us long to be blown away by the vast, expansive, and unknown spaces of the universe. Our observable universe is 156 billion light years in diameter. Or in miles, that would be 6 trillion times 156 billion. Does anybody want to do the math real quick for us? No? No math figures? Okay. Well, I'll let you do that on your own. When you're at brunch, just lots of zeros, lots of zeros. Keep going with the zeros. So from the smallest subatomic particles in intergalactic space to the neighborhoods that we live in and the world we inhabit, all that exists is expansive and, at least for me, beyond my brain's limits. On top of all of that, if that wasn't expansive enough, in 2011, a research team discovered that there is some evidence to suggest that we might not be the only universe. Instead, we could be a part of a multiverse of bubble universes. Now, if you believe that theory or not, either way, I don't care. But what we know is that our universe is vast, enormous, immense, unknown, unseen, and sometimes undetectable. And this is where today's biblical texts enter. These readings and our commemoration of angels today bring to mind the breathtaking size of all of creation that is both seen and unseen. In all three of our readings, we see angels, and the word angels comes from the Greek word angelo, which means to tell or deliver a message, and it also can mean one who is sent in order to announce, teach, or perform anything. In the reading from Daniel in Revelation, we hear these apocalyptic instances where the angel Michael is present. And in John, we hear of the angels ascending and descending, in Greek from ouranon. Now, ouranon, that Greek word, is used in Revelation as well as John, and can be translated as heavens, air, or sky. Now, heaven was seen as this alternative place separate from the earth. If you think back to those creation stories in Genesis, you can think of God making the heaven and the earth, right? Earth and then heaven. There's a separation there in the scriptures. And throughout the scriptures, we also see heaven mentioned in a variety of contexts, carrying different meanings based on the context. But for today, the important thing is that there is this expansiveness to our creation, both things seen and unseen, things that are earthly and things that are beyond the earth. Things like mysterious messengers, things that are unknown to us except by their effects, things like dark energy and dark matter, which make up a whopping 95.1% of our universe, things we can't see. There are so many things that remind us of how vast and expansive, how unknown and undiscovered, how mysterious and wondrous is all of creation. And on this day, we remember that vast creation. We're reminded that our God's presence and God's messengers are in the midst of all of it. We're reminded that no matter how vast the universe or universes might be, our God is omnipresent and engaged in each of our lives. Now, I think it's easy for each of us to sit there and say, okay, so we've got this expansive universe, and you probably know that already, right? I'm hammering home a point that you've already got. Yet, in the midst of thinking about this mind-blowingly large universe, I also find comfort in knowing that expansiveness. When I stop to think about how expansive creation is and God's presence in it, I can't just stop and not take a sigh of relief. For the immensity of the universe actually puts my life into perspective. One example of this happened in college. Now, I was walking out of the registrar's office, frustrated in the way that the registrar's bureaucracy and procedures can only incite in an academic institution. Flustered, I stepped out the door and happened to run into a friend. We began talking, and I told him about my irritation with the registrar. She always irritated me. And he stopped me and said, "Look." And he pointed far out into the distance. And I said, "What in the world am I looking at?" He said, "Just look, just look. Look out as far as you can see. I'm going to also look up. Look at that big bubble of air that encapsulates all of that. Look as far as you can." So I looked around and we stood there. Then he pointed back to the paper that I was holding in my hand that I was frustrated about. And he said, This, in the big scheme of everything, isn't all that large." He paused and said, "Think about it," and walked away. At that time, I thought it was kind of dismissive and rude, but on further thought, I think there's some comfort in what he was trying to bring to me. Sometimes we get so limited in our own little bubbles with work and school and projects and family and bills and social lives and all the daily tasks that it takes to actually live that we forget to take a moment and realize the vast universe that we are a part of. We forget about all of God's creation. We forget about all the gifts that we've been given just to be alive. And today, our readings open us up to these gifts. And as Lutherans, we know that we've been given God's love and grace and salvation on the cross for free. And that there's nothing that we need to do to earn God's love. Instead, we experience God fully in the waters of baptism, in the bread and wine of communion, and in the wind blowing by us, and in the expansiveness of the universe. We are then sent to live in this new expansive life. We're sent to share that good news with others. We're sent to be active participants in God's action in our world. And each week we gather here to be reminded that our little bubbles are just a little blip, that we are a part of a more expansive creation that God continues to make in our lives, that God continues to make in this city, that God continues to make in this world and in this universe. We are gathered here to share in story and song and support one another, to encounter each other who are from different neighborhoods, from different backgrounds, from different races and ages and sexual orientations and gender identities. We are gathered here to read the scriptures of our ancestors that brings us beyond our own generation. We are gathered here to be fed with holy food that sets our minds on things more expansive and more inspiring than we can ever do on our own. We are set free by our God's action. And then it is through your gifts, your offerings, that we're able to create this space each day for so many people. Today, the council is launching our Give, Grow, Restore campaign. And throughout this campaign, we're going to be reminded of how Wicker Park Lutheran Church already works to broaden our horizons. And we're also going to be challenged to broaden our reach even further by giving more to the community in which we live in, by growing to reach others more significantly, by restoring the gifts that we've received so that we might extend our ministry for future generations. In the weeks ahead, you'll be invited to dive deep into the expanses of our faith and connect with folks and share with them the awe of the universe and the comfort of our God's continued creation. You are invited. And friends, I've said all of this on this last Sunday in September because I want to remind you of the gift that the scriptures bring to us this day. Remind you the gift that God brings to our lives. And I hope that you're able to stop and ponder the expanses of our universe, seen and unseen. Maybe you'll just glance up, and maybe if you're not standing under a light on the street corner, you might see a star out there in the distance. And when you catch a glimpse of that one little star, I hope that you'll recognize that our God is present in the cosmic expanses and in the everyday interactions. And then when you recognize it, I hope you can remember it's a gift of life. A gift in need of a response that gives and serves and leads others to this good news of Christ. And that when you see that star, you'll know that you're not alone in this vast universe where our God is with you every moment of the day. Amen.